I call this meeting of the Labor and Industry Finance and Policy Committee to order. Representative Meyer, could you approve the minutes? Have you reviewed them and ready to approve?
I have.
It would be for February 15th.
I move to approve that. Is it the 14th or 15th?
15th.
Sorry, February 15th, 2024, Labor and Industry.
Representative Meyer has moved approval of the minutes from February 15th, 2024. Any additions or corrections? All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. First bill on the agenda is House File 3522 from Representative Nelson. Representative Nelson moves that HF 3522 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Nelson, please explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 3522 was brought to me by Rich Neumeister, who's sitting here next to me. And it's a pretty simple bill. And I will let Rich explain what the bill goes about is, and then afterwards I'll add to that.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rich Neumeister. I do have a letter that I gave to you all. I've been lobbying in the halls of the Capitol since the late 70s on open government and privacy, and those are broad terms. One of those items have been in the concept of privacy is what they call fair information principles, where you, an individual, have access to information, and also you can look at it, your own information, you can correct it, and really there's no secret files about you. And that has been a principle since the late 60s, early 70s. One of the endeavors that I've enjoyed doing over those near half a century of doing things, not up there yet, is enunciating those fair information principles in law. So I've worked with all of you policymakers, past and present, in medical records, insurance, government, all where you have that access. In 1988 and 89, I said, well, you know, and also because of where it's happening across the country, access to personal files in the private sector was nil. So I wrote up a concept, and then Steve Tremble, who is a former representative, and Senator Jean Merriam in the Senate sponsored it, to where now everybody, except a few employees in the private sector, have access to their files and also to contest accuracy and completeness and other things. So at that time, it was a hard-fought battle between a number of interests. So what came out was a definition of 20 or more employees is the definition. That was 35 years ago. Gives you a sense how long I've even been around and some others. So in 2024, because of the dynamics of where employee and employers are more involved with our lives and all that, this proposal then would make more Minnesotans who don't enjoy those rights with the change of the definition. It's very clear with that. The letter enunciates again what a fair information principles are and what the bill is objectified to do. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I want to thank you for your time, and I thank you, Chair Nelson, very much for willing to do this and to help many Minnesotans.
Discussion to the bill.
Madam Chair, just as you look at this part of law, the one we're amending the definitions that are in 181.960. At the beginning of that section, it says these definitions are for sections 189.960. through 181.966, and if you scroll down, if you're in the statutes book, on 181.961, they have employer is one or more. So basic order is making the section of law consistent with throughout the law and throughout other parts of the statute. But in this case, it's just the very next section, which these definitions apply to, they already say one or more as opposed to 20 or more. So we're just kind of doing this to make the statute consistent.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Now, discussion to the bill. Representative McDonald.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Mr. Neumeister, thank you for bringing this. I suppose, did my father support this back when you were here working in the so long ago?
Well, you know, as it was kind of interesting, as you may know, you have a copy, Madam Chair, Representative McDonald, you have in your packet a letter from the AFL-CIO signed by Brad Leto, who at that time was the committee administrator of the iteration of this committee. And he points in there, it passed 133 to zip in the House on the chapter. So I don't know if your dad, Madam Chair, Representative McDonald, it was maybe the 134th, and he didn't vote, but I would take it if more than likely he may have supported. I don't know. I haven't. But I just noticed that when it was passed. So more than likely he probably did, unless he was that 134th.
Representative McDonald.
Madam Chair, thank you, Mr. Neumeister. I suppose then I should support this as well to follow in his footsteps. But a question, and I did ask this of you at the meeting we met I think it was yesterday already, huh? Goes real quickly, or Monday. No, yesterday was Monday. Anyway, the current statute, and you gave me the statute numbers, I didn't get a chance to look them up, but it does not mandate employers keep that information necessarily, but certainly in this new change, it just allows them that the employee has an opportunity to seek that information should they desire so, correct?
Mr. Neumeister.
Madam Chair, Representative McDonald, this is only to bring whatever rights that have been part of the law for 35 years to more. Now, that question that you asked me, I have an opinion about that, but I would encourage that question to be answered by Chair Nelson, or that might be an appropriate question that can be directed by a member to Ms. James, who's your counsel. I do take a look at the law itself, and it says, if I remember right, under the definition of personal record, to the extent maintained. So if you don't, and how can you give access if you don't have it? So, but that can be confirmed by an official request, which I cannot make, either by a member or the chair or the chief author of this bill.
And Madam Chair, not being an attorney, I think I would direct that question to Ms. James.
Madam Chair and members, yes. So in section 181.961, it talks about the fact that an employee would be able to review for as long as the personal record is maintained. And there's also rules about once you separate, but it's not requiring an employer, Representative McDonald, to have a personal file if they don't. I won't guess on that, but it doesn't require that.
Representative McDonald?
Yes, very good. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Neumeister. That answers my question.
Mr. Neumeister.
Madam Chair, Representative McDonald, that's probably more than likely why your dad supported it, and for the heck of it, I'm going to go check the record.
All right.
See how that final vote was.
Yeah. Further discussion on the bill. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the author and Mr. Neumeister. Can you explain for me what lines 1.8 and 1.9 mean and why we do this as it relates to Chapter 13? And maybe that might even be a question for research staff as well, but is there a reason that we exclude state agencies and political subdivisions?
Mr. Neumeister.
Madam Chair, Representative Schultz. As someone who has spent most of his lifetime on Chapter 13 data practices, why is because this law deals with private employers. Chapter 13, the Minnesota Government Data Practices Act, gives the public employees those same rights. They, even in the public sector, get more rights under data practices. So the legislature back in 89 didn't want to confuse. So that's why it's very clear this only applies to private employers. That's what that language is.
Representative Schultz, follow up.
No, thank you for the answer. I think it's helpful for us. As with the start of session here, we've seen a few different bills that have kind of excluded government and entities, and I'm glad to hear that there's other sections of state statute that guide us so that there are those same protections or opportunities for state employees, and that we're not trying to set government up and above that which we're expecting from the private sector.
And Representative Nelson.
And Madam Chair, just as noted, that's current our language in statute. The only change we're making is deleting the 20 and putting in one. So that's the only change we're making here with this. The rest of this is all current statute.
Final comments, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. Again, this is a pretty simple bill, and it's just, again, it's extending rights to other employees that currently don't have that, to be able to view their records, the personnel records, and if there's errors, that they can make corrections, but that they can see what's in there and know what's being said about them.
Representative Nelson renews his motion that House File 3522 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
That was pretty painless.
Representative Jordan renews her motion that House File 3428 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Rep. Jordan, please explain your bill.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, members. I am here to present House File 3428, which is purely a technical policy bill for BMS, which stands for the Bureau of Mediation Services. If you're not familiar with BMS, this is a neutral agency. It is very explicitly not a management organization or a pro-union agency. It is a neutral state agency. And so BMS's mission is to promote stable and constructive labor management relations and the use of alternative dispute resolution and collaborative processes in areas other than labor management. And so they do this by helping mediate, arbitrate, and settle contracts and grievances between managers and workers, and then also help settle questions and conflicts regarding employee representation amongst bargaining units. As to the bill itself, it is completely technical. This bill really just helps with readability and citability. A lot of stakeholders in this area are not attorneys, and this will better be able to help them and all of us as the general public understand the law. And there is no fiscal cost to this bill. With that, I would like to introduce our BMS commissioner, Johnny Villarreal.
Thank you. Commissioner?
Madam Chair, members, really not much to add to that as far as the background behind the bill. You'll notice that our work does work with mostly public sector in the state of Minnesota, and so when we're working with either city or county administrators or HR directors or union members or business agents, many are not attorneys, and so we're really looking to move forward with a plain language effort in this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Discussion to the bill. Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Jordan, for this bill. I know this is an important topic, and I see that we have an expert in the room, former Labor Chair, Representative Sundin. So I'm wondering if Chair Sundin has anything he wants to add on this matter.
Thank you, no.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Jordan renews her motion that House File 3428 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. Representative Jordan renews her motion that House File 3415 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Jordan, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, of course, welcome testimony from our esteemed colleague, Sundin, back there, on any of my bills. But today I'm here to present another bill, House File 3415, which is a bill related to PELRA. That stands for the Public Employee Labor Relations Act, and it establishes rules for collective bargaining between Minnesota public employers and representatives of public employees. PELRA grants public employees the right to unionize and bargain collectively, sets criteria for establishing bargaining units, provides procedures for election of exclusive representatives, and contains procedures for resolving impasses in bargaining. This bill has been around since the 1970s, and there has not been a major cleanup bill. There have been major bills to address policy changes within it, but this is, like the last bill, purely technical. It helps with readability and citability. You know, I'm proudly not an attorney, and so this will help me better be able to understand this law that I deal with quite a bit. There is no fiscal cost to this bill. The commissioner can testify that the agency will absorb any costs associated with it. With that, I would turn it over to the commissioner again.
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, members, nothing to add.
You and Sundin both. Representative Jordan. Oh, discussion to the bill. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Jordan, what's taken us so long to get this done, if it's only technical?
Representative Jordan.
Madam Chair, Representative, you know, this is a bill that was brought to me by the commissioner this year. I offered to do it as I was spending time looking at the bill last year and offered. I was like, wow, there's a lot of readability issues with this bill as I've looked at it in years past, and I really saw there was a need to improve that, and I think everyone agrees. So that's really what it's about. I don't know, Commissioner, if you have anything else to add.
Madam
Commissioner.
Chair, Representative, we had the good fortune to have a program coordinator with the Bureau for a short time. His name is Ian Lewinstein. He is an expert in readability, grammar, et cetera. And we took advantage of his skills and used that opportunity to update this statute.
Follow up, Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Jordan, are there any unions that could be negatively impacted by this?
Representative Jordan.
Madam Chair, Representative Schultz, I spoke to every public sector union that I've spoken to has no problems with this bill. So I do not see that this bill negatively impacting unions. I see it positively impacting unions and employers because of the readability aspects and the citability. I think it'll make it easier for everyone and positively impact everyone in the state.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Jordan, what unions did you speak with?
Representative Jordan.
Madam Chair, Representative Schultz, probably a hard name to say, especially if you talk as fast as I do. I have spoken to a number of public sector unions in the state, including AFSCME, MAPE, Education Minnesota, SEIU, Teamsters Local 320, and the AFL-CIO, which is an umbrella organization for many unions in the state. If there is anyone else from an exclusive representation, if there is anyone else who wants to discuss this bill and would find an adverse effect in any way, please let me know. But again, it is a purely technical bill, and I do not anticipate any adverse effects to any member or resident of the state of Minnesota.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Jordan, I've only ever known you to be an exceedingly thorough legislator, and I wanted to ensure that you had the chance to talk about your strong record.
Any further discussion to the bill? Representative Jordan renews her motion that House File 3415 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Members, there is no further business on the agenda today. Any questions at this time?
Nice and easy, lemon squeeze.
Without any further questions, we are adjourned.